Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
And we're back. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello!
Dude, long...
Yes.
I know, we're taking quarantine not to do our Skype recording because...
Yeah, exactly. No, there's just been a lot of moving parts here with coronavirus, major lives changing, things happening.
Franchise altering
events, so we're here to get into it. You know, it's good. We'd rather come to you with a show full of information than a show where we're trying to pick and peck at little to no information.
Exactly. If we got on the horn a month ago, is the season going to happen? I don't know. Okay, that's a wrap. But yeah. Instead, at the right room, we waited some big news. Oh boy, was there some big news.
Lots of big news.
Cameron Newton, the pride of Auburn University. Yes, I'm going to bring up the fact that our top two quarterbacks are both from Auburn.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Cam Newton, the greatest player other than Bo Jackson in Auburn football history, is now a member of the New England Patriots for a meager $550,000 guaranteed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
Less salary.
Because of all the bonuses, right? Is that why they could do that?
Yeah, his salary is not guaranteed until he makes the final roster.
Right.
But even if that happens, it only bumps him up to like 1.5 mil. And then he's got incentives up the wazoo. I was actually looking at his incentives. The only way he could reach his maximum money is if we make the wild card playoffs and then go through that way.
Because okay.
He gets money playoff, and so you maximize the money by winning an extra playoff.
Gotcha.
But this season, with the new, now only one team in each conference gets the first round bye.
Oh, that's right.
So like 14-2, but instant yeah. Reactions. How are your...
So, you know, it's weird because all offseason, I don't want Cam Newton. You don't want Cam Newton. We don't want Cam Newton. There's no... I don't want Cam Newton. And now we got Cam Newton. And it's like, okay, you know what? Let's see what he's got type of thing. I mean, I guess the thing that makes it so attractive is that it's such short money that it's like, okay, you're not... I mean, your quarterback room, you're paying nobody at quarterback right now. So you can hopefully in the next year, you know, you have money to move around a little bit. I mean, which will get us to another thing, why we need to pay quarterbacks so little money, which we will get to later in the show. But, I mean, it really depends on what we see out of him. I mean, I feel better about him at quarterback than Jared Stidham, hands down. He's a physical presence. He's, you know, just an athletic freak. I don't know where his arm is. I think that's where a lot of people are held up about it. But, you know, I'm really intrigued by the potential of what he could bring if he's still got it, which I think he does. And I know you must be super
stoked.
Yeah. Even though you really didn't want him, though.
The reason I didn't want him was like last right. September, like 15 right. minutes complaining about no respect, and he's wearing purple sunglasses and who knows how many scarves. And it's shit like that that worries me.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me think, oh, he's not going to fit in Bill Belichick's mold. And long term, I don't think he would.
Yeah.
And right. That's one of the reasons that it's also he could increase his value, hit the market where he's the hands down best free agent quarterback available with the reinflated mm-hmm. stock, the whole mm-hmm. thing. But it's also, I mean, the very little guaranteed money going in, there's a scenario where he gets cut in camp. I could totally see it. We've done it before.
Right.
Before where the superstars or former superstars come in and they just don't fit, they don't make the team. A lot of them retire right afterwards. Cam's not going to be in that boat.
Right.
But, yeah, low risk. I mean, a month ago, there was the only scenario for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl this season was if, for whatever reason, Jarrett Stidham turned out to be the next Kurt Warner, Patrick Mahomes, one of these people that blasts onto the scene. And you're like, how in the hell is this guy so good?
Right. How did nobody see this before? Right.
And that is a much more minuscule chance than Cam Newton regaining 90% of what he was.
Right. Exactly. And I feel like you, if we could go back and get a cut, you might have said years ago when he signed his biggest big contract, I want to say in 2015 or 2014, you're like, well, the Patriots could get him after Tom Brady. If not, you know. What is it? In 2019 or 2020, you'd be able to do it.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, he brought a national championship to Auburn, so I've always been a huge fan. He still has the rookie passing record, passing yards as a rookie, MVP in one of the most dominant seasons we've seen from any team. I mean, Panthers were 15-1. They were one shit-ass performance against noodle arm Peyton Manning away from capping that off with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, from the good news from, I mean, I think the major thing that would hold him back this season would be not fitting in.
And right.
All indications are so far that he's going to be Cam, but he's not going to be flamboyant and me first Cam.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that could happen is his shoulder falls apart again.
Right.
Which happened 2 years, not last year. Last year it was the foot injury that did it. And yeah, I see.
I wanted to find a good, my grandma was just calling me. Okay, I think it's about, yeah. I'll be back in a sec.
You sure? Okay. You got somebody else or something? Or Okay. Sure. Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. I think she's in the house. All right, grandma. Anytime. If you ever need that again. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Bye, grandma.
All right, John. Sorry about that. Oh, Sean. Sean?
Still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm just texting Veronica, but I can wait.
Yeah, you can do that.
No. I'll text her after. Let's do it.
But all indications were last year that his shoulder was recovered. And everything was looking good in training camp until he broke his foot, Liz Frank injury against the Patriots of all teams. I was at that game season. But, you know, if his shoulder holds up, I think his legs present issues for a defense, but it's really if he can't throw it down the field, that's when he's no longer an effective player, and that's why he wound up on IR too.
Right.
And that's the other real downfall that could happen for him, but from the Patriots' perspective, if either of those things happens, he either goes on IR and they don't have to pay all those incentives, or if he's jeopardizing the culture, then see ya. There's the door.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, the fit definitely. I mean, I almost feel like Cam Newton's bad PR was just because of last year and more of, you know, we didn't see much of him, and I feel like the Panthers didn't do him any favors by any means. They were kind of like, oh, we don't need him anymore. And, you know, it was just like that whole wave of bad PR for Cam Newton makes everyone thinking now, 2020, that, oh, this guy can't play anymore. But in 2018, he had one of his best statistical years. It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't incredible, but it was pretty good. You know, it was over six.
Until he hurt his shoulder halfway
through. Until he hurt his shoulder, you know.
Put up the first seven games. They match up almost perfectly with the first seven games of 2015.
Yeah. So, and then the shoulder was healed. It became a foot. I mean, I think when he comes to Patriots practice with, you know, hopefully practice will continue as normal to some degree. We'll see what happens with all that stuff, all the COVID testing and all that crap. But I think he's going to step on the field, and he's just such a physical specimen that it's almost going to be like one of those things like, oh, okay, here we go. I don't think Stidham is going to be nearly, like, I don't think he's going to be able to hold up a candle to Cam. And if, you know, before you say anything, like, what was our offense going to be this year? Our offense was going to be run the ball, easy schemed up throws, easy schemed up plays that are, you know, to get somebody open downfield. Why is Cam Newton, like, why would Stidham be better there than Cam Newton? They're not hard throws, unless Cam Newton can't throw at all. They're going to give him really easy reads, really easy throws, and then all of a sudden, Cam Newton can also just run and take on linebackers downfield. So,
yeah, he's a problem. The offense with Jared Stidham would be extremely vanilla.
Extremely vanilla.
And part of that, he's more mobile than Brady, but he's not a mobile quarterback.
No, yeah.
He's got plenty of arm strength. He's got good arm talent. I'm not trying to hold him back there, but he also has attempted like three career passes in the regular season. Mm-hmm. So you have to put a ceiling on expectations for him. Whereas Cam Newton has all the experience you could ever ask for. He's got over 100 starts, probably closer to 200.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just the injuries. And then also, you know, there's this, Michael Lombardi likes to talk about this on his podcast, which is great. You guys should check it out. But he talks about what the Bears did. The Bears have Mitchell Trubisky, who's just a lame duck. They put in a ton of resources to get him, and they don't want to challenge him too much. They want to give him every opportunity to work out. which I've voiced vociferously that I don't believe can ever happen. But instead of waiting to get another quarterback in the room and signing Cam Newton when he became available, which was written on the wall as soon as the Panthers were linked to Teddy Bridgewater, they decided to trade assets for Nick Foles and pay him, what, like 20 times as much money as Cam Newton's making this year?
Yeah, like real quarterback money.
Yeah. Yep. And because Nick Foles is an experienced backup quarterback, Cam Newton hasn't backed up anyone's Tim Tebow at Florida.
And probably doesn't want it.
And definitely doesn't.
Right.
So you bring in Cam Newton, he's going to eat your heart out and get that starting job. And when you see the videos of him working out with people, it's like Cam's the alpha in those videos. It doesn't matter who the other guy is. Cam's the guy.
He is the guy. And that's the only, like, when he comes in here, he's going to be the guy. You know, one thing somebody said, I heard, I think it was a radio show today, was, you know, or actually it might have been Chris Sims. He was saying, this is going to be the first time Cam walks in somewhere and they're going to say, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you did that wrong. You know, they're going to be critical of you, and you're not going to be the superstar, at least under Bill Belichick. Maybe, you know, the Krafts and some of the other coaches will treat you that way, but Bill Belichick's going to ream into you for your mistakes. And Cam has been, I mean, I'm sure he was coddled in Carolina for years. You know, this last year, obviously things changed, but, you know, he's never got, you know, he's the number one pick. They won the national title, right? Won the national title, number one pick, MVP. Yeah, right. There you go. Sorry. The national title. I mean, there's a national title there. No. You know, Super Bowl, got to the Super Bowl once. You know, I don't know how many other times. But, I mean, he's the guy. Like you just said, he is the undisputed guy.
Yeah, he's been on a red carpet, and he's earned it with his talent. And the great thing about this arrangement, as it is right now, is the opportunity that's presented to him and to the Patriots.
Yes, 100%.
He wants a fuck you, I'm back. And the Patriots want him to have that, but they also have leverage over him where it's like, we can cut you at any time, not feel it.
Yeah.
So it's totally aligned. He's willing to play ball. There's no reason.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean,
actually, now that I think about it, the AFC quarterback room stacked. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. Tough to break that.
Tough to break that, yep. I mean, the big thing is, sadly, you know, his ego can be in check under Belichick. And, you know, Belichick, part of the reason Brady just left is because he didn't want to deal with Belichick anymore. That's the greatest player of all time. That takes criticism very well. So, and he just was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. I'm going to fucking Tampa Bay of all places. 20 years versus, that's true. You are very correct. I mean, you know, and I wonder what it's, you know, it's stunning that we even got him. You know, the fact that he gave in for that kind of money, I mean, I don't think the Patriots were expecting this. You know, everyone says, oh, it's part of the plan. I don't think this was part of the plan, personally. Maybe in the last month or something, you know, recent part of the plan. But, I mean, for you to be like, okay, Cam Newton's going to fall to us for literally no money in June or July, whenever the hell we actually signed him, that wasn't part of the plan. And just to say, you know, the rest of the NFL, like Philip Rivers got a good contract, at least for a year, before Cam Newton. I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah, that is really surprising. But, yeah, I guess. Because Indy, a lot of the quarterback situations, when you look around the league, the Patriots were really the only one that made sense for him. When you look at the totality of the quarterback rooms.
Like the undisputed, he would be the starter in that room.
Right. And Indianapolis actually would have made a ton of sense too, but they were very eager to bring in Philly Rivers.
Which is a joke.
That is Phil Rivers.
He's never won anything.
He's also like the 1 year old. They don't think it's going to last beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean,
San Diego. He could have went to San Diego. They have a rookie quarterback who everyone knows is going to suck. They signed Tyrod Taylor, who's a poor man's Cam Newton.
Well, they already had Tyrod.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, right. They didn't sign him.
There are teams like that, like San Diego. Well, you know, the Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers, don't want to get anybody in Justin Herbert's way, who's famously quiet. In Miami, same thing. You don't want to mess up Tua's development with anybody more experienced. I mean, more consistent than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Jacksonville is doing the let's lose and have our pick between the two stud quarterbacks next season, which is going to be Trevor Lawrence. And then, you know, the Bears didn't want to push Trubisky like we talked about. The Bengals, same thing, rookie quarterback. There's not, it's like, the opportunities dwindle pretty quickly.
Right. No, the opportunities do dwindle, but, I mean, you see the contracts that some of these guys are signing, and it's like the fact that he didn't even get, yeah, I mean, he just got to take a less than the minimum. I mean, Tannehill put together, like, a string of four games last year. He's been terrible.
It's more like
for
10, but yeah.
Years. I don't even consider most of those games good games under him. He had a few good games. There was, like, one game against the Saints, and everyone's like, oh, my God, he's got it. And that was it. That's all he had. He sucked every other time. He was absolutely abysmal in the playoffs, and they're like, oh, we'll just give you, like, $30 million a year. It's cool. He was terrible. Watch those playoffs. He didn't do anything. He handed it off to Derrick Henry, who also just got paid.
Yeah, it was very fortunate for the Patriots to land mm-hmm. Newton. I think it's probably also pretty fortunate for Cam Newton to be working with Josh McDaniels. After
yeah.
does not have a history of working with great offensive minds outside of Norv Turner.
That's a good point.
And they work together very well. Also, I love these lists people have put together between the receivers that Brady has worked with over the last 10 years and Cam Newton. And it's a toss-up. I don't know who's worked with better receivers. Brady
yeah.
has had Welker or Edelman. Cam Newton had Steve Smith, who was a legit star receiver. But then he left. And then
he left.
And
yep.
he has a couple guys that basically don't play anymore. Kelvin Benfunch.
We're never really. Those are all like third receivers.
Yeah, exactly. Ted Ginn played great with Cam Newton. He's just had a sneaky, really good career, Ted Ginn.
I mean, Cam's had good tight ends, good running backs. But yeah, you're right. He's never. I mean, people are worried, oh, how is he going to mesh in this offense? I mean, yeah, you got to figure that out. But he's never really had that. I mean, Cam could always throw downfield really well. And I think he'll bring that to the, you know, our deep game was pretty good, you know, pretty good in years past. It's been up and down, but I think he'll bring that aspect, especially because he can run. You know, he's gonna bring a little different flavor to the offense, and he's never had those star receivers, which we don't have.
We don't have, so right in.
Yeah, so he'll fit right in. It's perfect. I mean, you see him working out with Sanu and N'Keal Harry and Edelman, it's like, okay, good.
Well, yeah, when you're, I it's am enough. Worried. Cam has a history of throwing from his back foot and sailing the ball high, which is a worry with Julian Edelman.
Yep.
One of the other things, I saw some stats that Newton was actually, at the beginning of 2018, was throwing more quick passes and completing them at a higher rate than Tom Brady was.
Really? When was this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was doing the quick pass game, which is
yeah.
like Daniel's bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Newton's always been like a 60% completion guy, where Brady started there and then worked his way up to be like a 67% guy.
Yep.
Excited to see the offense. People don't expect the Patriots to run the same offense. Duh.
No, it's not. Yeah, absolutely. No.
Duh. They don't run the same offense. James White's and Michelle. You think you're going to take out Tom Brady, put in Cam Newton? Oh, dude, let's just run the same plays.
Yeah, right, right.
No, that's not going to. So they're going to drop a bunch of new stuff. Everyone is leaning on his athleticism. I think it's a scramble rule thing. I doubt they're going to be like, yeah, let's just sit back and run him. Going to be
no,
the case.
Not a chance.
Third and one, you might have some design key runs, lead blocker. Mm-hmm. I think on third and 10, he'll extend plays with his legs and maybe he'll take off a good amount of times. But like 400 yards rushing would be great.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go. I don't think they're going to do what Carolina did and let him get the crap kicked out of him. Like, Carolina got to let him get the shit kicked out of him. Mm-hmm. And Bill is not like that. He is the opposite of that. He's like, if you get the shit kicked out of you because something stupid you did, you're fucked. Like, I'm going to flip out on you. You know, he's going to – that part of that, you know, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, I'm sure, is, you know, they're building this offense. They're putting a lot of money in the offensive line. So they're going to make sure he's standing upright. You know, the running game, I think, obviously, as we've said in the past, it's going to be a huge focal point. Now you have to, you know, you're putting Cam Newton's way better than Jared Stidham in my mind. So you're putting him in, that's a complete upgrade. So give him the easy throws. They're not going to base this. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson. Like, anyone who's like, oh, yeah, like 1,000 yards rushing, not a chance. I don't want him to get anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
You know, Russell Wilson or Pat Mahomes type runner. And he's a better runner than definitely Mahomes. And probably Wilson's unbelievable in the backfield. But, you know, it's going to be the same type of thing. Throw first. look to throw, find the throw. You can't throw. You really can't throw. Throw it away. You don't want to throw it away, then you run it. Like, last option, run it.
But now we have a new third and short option.
Which is awesome.
Awesome. We just had 20 years of Brady sneak or off-tackle run. And it was all a read on how the defensive line was lined up.
Yeah.
And now you have an option. You can go shotgun QB lead. Put two backs back there. Put the fullback back there. We got a new fullback, Dan Vitale.
Look at your eyes light up when you say that.
I know.
I mean, and, you know, Brady was great at the QB sneak forever. But, I mean, think about it. Last year he was 43. And every time he jumped into that pile, it crossed my mind. I'm like, don't get hurt. Don't, you know. Cam's kind of the same way, but he's also 13 years younger. I mean, he's like, what, 30, 32?
He's 31.
Right. So, he's an exactly. Animal. Like, and there was some stat I saw or something. It's like out of 300 short down, you know, fourth and ones or third and ones or something like that. Like, Cam got like 200, like was completing like over 60% of those on runs.
So
that's huge. You know, the next thing that kind of drives in is, what do you think with Stidham? Like, you did say there's an option where we cut Cam in training camp. And do you think that would be more of the on the lines of Cam can't do it, or Stidham shows that he's actually, he can play?
I bet it would be that Cam is either, he's creating friction in the locker room. That's the most likely cause. Mm-hmm. Or the other scenario is that Stidham is showing him up and he's going to win the starting job and Cam's not going to deal with that, which is basically another edge of the same coin.
Right.
Which is just, he's going to cause problems. There's no way Cam Newton is not better than Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, right.
Like, if just keep comparing him down the way, we know exactly what Brian Hoyer is. There's still some question about how good could Stidham be.
Do you think the reason they brought in Cam was more of a lack of, I mean, obviously the contract, you know, leave that aside. Do you think it was because they just wanted the opportunity to work with Cam because they do? Or do you don't think it's because they thought it was a lack on Stidham's part?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think it's just an opportunity. He's a generational talent.
I wonder if – I think the timing of how everything worked out, obviously Cam's been sitting out, but, you know, I find it interesting that, you know, why did they sign him back June 1st? You know, what was the difference? Did he want $10 million then and now he was like, okay, I don't know. Because you could judge those. He would judge how many calls he's got. I wonder, Stidham, you know, everyone was pumping Stidham up, all this bullshit. Oh, he's the greatest. He's going to be awesome. He's such a fantastic quarterback. He was great last year, all this crap. And then he started getting into training camp, not training camp, but practicing with other players, you know, going out there and throwing with the guys and stuff like that. And then, oh, 3 weeks later or a month later, yeah, no, we signed another quarterback. I just find that coincidental. And usually with these things, it's not that coincidental. It's more like, oh, yeah, Edelman was thrown with him, and, you know, he happened to run and talk to Bill, and Bill was like, what's the deal? And he's like, yeah, he can't even throw me a fucking hitch.
All right, I wouldn't jump to those. I guess what you could definitely say with certainty is if everyone was on board with Jarrett Stidham's going to be a stud, an absolute stud quarterback, then no, they wouldn't bring in anybody else.
Right, okay, yeah.
But anything short of that, it's worth bringing in another quarterback on a one-year deal who's been an MVP, who's still only 31.
Right.
Coming off playing, I think he's probably played 10 games, which is like, if he gets injured, that's what the contract's there for.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't fit, that's why the contract's so low. And I think the timing is more, it's really more a factor of Cam's expectations being lowered. Maybe there were conversations along the lines of like Cam saying, I want to be the starting quarterback, and the Patriots being like, you're gonna have to compete, and then you got to wear that down, and he's saying, I'm a $10 million player excuse me, and
yep,
them having to wear that down, just like slow trickling away of what he thinks this needs to be for him to sign. And because like we talked about, there's very little other
around the league for. That is true. I'm a little worried about Stidham. I feel like all beginning of the offseason, this guy was shoved down our throats as he is the future quarterback for the New England Patriots.
He's a fun pick.
I know, and that has been drawn back now over the last couple of weeks a shitload. And
possible for them to really like him and also think this is a really good opportunity that doesn't come along often, which is why universally this is being praised, because everyone's like, that's a great sign.
Right. I understand that. I mean, but like you said too, like if they were outright, this is the guy, we don't need to Cam Newton.
Yeah, they don't feel
that way.
They're not across the board. This guy is our guy, hands down.
Yes, there are still questions. Yep, there's still questions on the table. So, you know, I wonder what that does to Stidham's development. If that helps it, if it hurts it. I mean, I always thought Stidham needed another year. I would hope it helps it.
It hurts it.
Right. Which then you don't want him anyways.
Yeah, that's gonna make you feel pretty fucking good.
Right, and then the rest of the team's on your side at that point too.
Yeah, exactly. You won it. It's your team now. So I don't see a downside from Stidham. It's a 1 year deal for Cam. Stidham's still here for another 3 years on his rookie deal. It's not like there's no worry. And one of the reasons, I guess we just did like 30 minutes about Cam, but we can start to move on a little bit. But one of the reasons, which was great, that the number was so low on his contract was because our salary cap was right up against the roof. And like within 2 days of the signing, 7 days, something like that, they clear $7 million in cap space by settling with Antonio Brown and the Hernandez
date. Yeah, yeah. Do you think Cam was happy about that?
Oh, no way. Not a chance.
They did him. Someone did him dirty with that move.
A little bit. But hey, the ink was dry at that point.
Which is crazy. So now you talk about cap relief. We just learned, I think yesterday was the deadline. Either yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. Joe Tooney, the franchise deadline, where I don't really understand the rules, but it's basically if you don't sign this player by today at 4 o'clock, they're on their franchise tag for the year, and then you can't contract extend them until, what, week 10 or after the season. Okay. So Joe Tooney is someone that me, you, I think everyone else in Patriots Nation, the rest of the NFL figured they're either going to they're franchising him because they don't want to let him walk. Brady just left. They got some money. They need to fill a space. You know, Joe Tooney, they don't want him to go to one of their rivals. Miami was probably going to sign him. Buffalo, one of these guys. The Jets, who knows. So franchise tag him. We'll trade him or we'll sign him to a long deal. Neither, which has happened. Now you have two guards making, what, $25-30 million a year between the two of them, which is, I mean, that's like top of the line tackle money.
It's a heavy, and you can afford that. Well, I mean, the highest paid quarterback on our book is still Tom Brady.
Yeah, 13 and a half.
13 and a half million. So we're able to fit our entire quarterback room under 20 million, which most teams would be like, if you're going to get good production, that's not bad. So we have two of our top six cap hits are guards. One of them is right tackle Marcus Cannon. He comes in number five. So it's a weirdly put together roster from a cap standpoint.
I personally think, you finish your thought before I say what I'm
saying. I was just going to say, in addition to what you were talking about before with the reasons for franchising Joe Tooney, I thought it made sense from the perspective of we're going to have an inexperienced quarterback like Jarrett Stidham, and it's best to put the best offensive line in front of him.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if this was any other team, we would say this cap situation was a nightmare.
Dude, we should rename this podcast In Bill We Trust, because I'll spin anything they do.
Literally. I mean, if this was any other team, we'd be like, who spends $25 million at guard? You can find how many undrafted guys or low-round picks has Bill plugged in at guard, and they've been great?
Both of them.
So there you go. So I think, I mean, let me... You know, in hindsight, everything looks better or worse. I mean, if we go through this year and we have just a monster offensive line, everyone's going to say, well, who cares, right? But, you know, this isn't generally how normally your two highest paid people on your line are your tackles, which, you know, we have a first round pick over there, Marcus Cannon. He said it's top five. But, I mean, Marcus Cannon is making like half what Joe Tooney is.
Two-thirds. Right? He's making 2/3. 9-5. Yeah.
Okay, 9-5 versus 15. I mean, it's the cap. The cap situation is not good. I mean, the fact that we have $20 million, we're only spending $20 million on the quarterback room. That's because we royally fucked up there. You know, $13.5 million on the books from Tom Brady. You know, all of his contract extensions and all that. I mean, it's going to come down at some point where you're going to have to pay. So even with that, you know, they had the whole Antonio Brown thing that they just got some leverage from, or a little bit of relief from, I should say. But that was a disaster. You know. He shouldn't have been on the fucking books this year. He played a game, for Christ's sake. It's like, way to go there. And, you know, there's Michael Bennett they're paying $2 million bucks for. He didn't even make it through training camp last year. You know what I mean? I mean, there's some dead cap space you look on there and you go, what the hell were they doing?
They were taking swings, man.
They were taking big swings and they whiffed on them. I mean, McCourty's making a lot of money. You know, I'm some people are a little irked that Hightower's making a lot. I think he's worth it. You know, he's one of these guys I think's worth it. But, you know, high-end talent versus what you're getting for the cap space right now. I know we got a ton of cap space next year, but I think really this year we took a major cap space hit just so we next year would be relief.
This team, they did it in 2009 to 2010. This is a rebuilding year. I know right. It doesn't feel like it, but this is, you know, when all the stuff you did to try to make yourself a championship contender and then you end up having to pay that bill afterwards.
That's this year.
That's this year. It's what the Cleveland Cavaliers have been going through for years. You know, the Jets went through it after they tried to build up that Rex Ryan team. They went through
right.
it. They tried to put everybody together with Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2014. It's like, this is a rebuild year. This is as good as a rebuild could possibly
be. That's a good point. You're right. I mean, it's still the fact that they're still a playoff contention team is pretty good.
Playoff contention. Oh my! There's going to be seven teams in the playoffs from the AFC.
Right. So if they can, you know, but also to say it, I mean, there's you look at the cap, the way they're doing the cap. I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's not the way you write it down. But next year, you get the reset, so that kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. Like, why the fuck did you fuck up so bad this year? Well, next year we have a clean slate. Okay. That's where it kind of all comes down to.
Well, it's also Belichick loves to zag when other people zig in terms of roster construction. It's one of the reasons that if you look down our salary cap list, like seven of the top 20 players are all defensive back. It's like we have
right.
enormous investment defensive back, and then they go out and spend their top draft pick on another one. And,
and we had one last year.
We had one last year. Yeah, I mean it's every year. Our fifth cornerback is Jawan Williams, who he's our fifth cornerback, and
right.
he was a second round pick last year. Most people are like second round pick, your start or
literally, and he's our fifth.
He's our fifth, and those guys are not on short term deals either. Gilmore, Johnny Jones, J.C. Jackson, these guys are around for a bit. Jason McCourty, I think his deal comes up this, but they invest heavily at defensive back. They're starting to invest heavily at interior offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, previously they invested at tight end. Then they moved on from that. Then they did slot receiver. And it's like, it's an ever churning way of him to go in a different direction than everyone else is going. Where right now, and this kind of leads us into Patrick Mahomes, he gets some ungodly deal, which he's worth every penny of because he's the mm-hmm. best player in football.
Yeah.
But then they go out and they spend $22 million a year on Chris Jones, a defensive tackle, who's outstanding. And I thought if Patty Mahomes didn't have that crazy fourth quarter comeback, Chris Jones, I thought, was the best player in that
yeah,
in the
he
Super
was.
Bowl.
He was dominant.
He was dominant. And he's probably worth pretty close to that amount of money. I mean, it's we'll see if he lives out the length of that contract at this level of play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this tendency to go towards spending 20-30% of your cap on one or two players. So, I mean, look at the LA Rams right now. They are gutted. Totally gutted.
Right.
And half of them don't play for him anymore. Brandon Cooks is out of the building. Todd Gurley's collecting checks from Stan Kroenke, but he doesn't play for them anymore. And so other teams are going this, like, let's drive hard on superstars, which isn't anything new.
No, yeah, that's been happening.
And then they're just going to fill it out with undrafted rookie free agents or try to collect low round draft picks and fill in people the Seahawks direction, the way that they have their like compete mm-hmm. mantra, where Belichick is like, well, I'm going to invest in some of these positions that are more reasonable. I'm going to invest in the slot corner. I'm going to pay him like an outside linebacker or things like mm-hmm. that, where you look at our linebacking core and it's not that good. They
right.
put a bunch of draft picks in, but we don't carry big run stuffing defensive tackles anymore. We, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they devalue the tight end position drastically. They put in a couple mid-round picks on there, but it's more like rolling the dice. Maybe one of these things will turn up with a passing grade.
Yeah.
And they're investing in outside receivers. First-round mm-hmm. pick, N'Keal Harry. They pick up a big receiver in Mohamed Sanu, who I know plays a lot in the slot.
I mean, for me, it almost feels like they invest the most money into whatever they have to put the least amount of external resources into. So it's like, okay, we have this guard, let's pay him. We're not going to go out in the free agent market and overpay to get a guard or a tackle. We got this guy, let's just pay him. We don't have a tight end. Oh, what are the tight end market? It's expensive. We don't want to pay any of them. Let's get someone on the cheap. It's like, you know what I mean? Oh, we put, you know, we got a first round pick and a receiver. Okay, you know, well, let's trade it. Let's get the receiver market. We're not spending any money on receiver. Let's turn that around a little. It's a little bit like that. The thing about Joe Tooney that I wonder is the fact that we didn't extend him on a long-term contract makes me wonder if when Bill did put him on the franchise tag, he ever intended for him to be here longer than this year.
Right. Yeah, it's a good question.
Because if he was, you know, you want to trade him, fine. That's kind of the route everyone thought. But if you did franchise tag him with the intent of him staying here, wouldn't you have drawn up some kind of contract that you know a guard would take?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's not that hard to come up with a contract. It's not like a guard's like some, you know, receiver or a cornerback or someone that, you know, is all about, you know, I want to get mine. You know, generally the interior linemen are, you know, a happy bunch, more so than the others, and they're going to sign whatever. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, it's not like a D-tech, Chris Jones, on the holdout, stuff like that. You don't hear any of this stuff from interior linemen most of the time, especially from Tooney.
That's so funny. Yeah, you haven't heard me ever.
No, and it's like he probably would have showed up no matter what. So as long as he was, so the fact that we didn't extend him, I feel like at his position is more on the Patriots than it's more on Tooney. It's not like I feel like Tooney's not sitting there going, no, I need $12 million a year. It's more of the Patriots are like, nah, we're gonna lowball him because we really can't afford to pay two guards.
That's a great point, and that might be the case.
Yeah,
and maybe they franchised him, being like, we're not ready to make this decision yet. If we have Stidham at quarterback, or if we think we could trade him and he's an asset, so why let the franchise tag go unused when we could use it on him?
Right.
Those are all possibilities.
I am happy we're investing this much money in the offensive line because it shows that we should get good, really good offensive line play out of it, which will only help whatever's going on offense. Obviously.
You can make a
case. Yeah. You could argue it.
The Ravens O-line just took a hit with Marshall Yanda retiring. That's a big hit. He's a borderline Hall of Fame. And there's just not that many great offensive lines out there right now. A lot of them aged out.
Right.
Travis Frederick retired, the center for the Cowboys. Jason Peters got old, left, came back to the Eagles, and now is intending to play out of position, replacing probably their best offensive lineman, Brandon Brooks, at right guard. Depending on how great, I mean, Isaiah Wynn is the biggest question mark on the Patriots' offensive line. I thought he played damn good last year.
He played pretty good when he was finally healthy. Yeah, we got to hope he stays healthy, but that's a huge upgrade.
That's a big upgrade over Ted Karras, moved on to Miami on a deal. He was making five times more than Cam Newton. I'm just going to keep bringing it back up.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. An ex-MVP who's 31 years old.
Yeah.
It's not like he's 40. You know what I mean? I mean, his quarterback. Drew Brees just got a way better deal than him.
Even just you go, oh, but he's an athletic quarterback. He's a guy that uses his legs a lot, which is might be an overrated part of his game because he is so physically.
Yeah.
Where you might over arm talent, like quick passing decision making, as we talked about before. But Aaron Rodgers uses his legs as much as any quarterback.
Yeah.
Just about Aaron Rodgers. And yeah. He's had an inch, he has. And no one's like, oh, well, he's not going to.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. I mean, the fact that Drew Brees is getting 25 or 30 million a year, whatever he is this year. And the dude hasn't won anything in 10 years. Anything. Nothing. No MVPs, no Super Bowls, no Super Bowl appearances, no even deep playoff runs. They've had like two games. Have they gotten to the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, it was the game against the Rams.
They got hosed, but then they still got the ball back in overtime and got the ball intercepted. Yes.
I guess I'll never. Drew Brees.
We just got, and he's 42. I mean, you go, oh, well, Tom Brady's older. Yeah, Tom Brady's a six-time Super Bowl MVP with way more MVPs than Drew Brees. I don't even consider them the same conversation, but for whatever reason, the NFL does. I don't get it.
Because.
Oh, wow. Ryan Fitzpatrick is like sneakily getting up there in like yards and touchdowns and like decent career stats.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's talking about – he never gets a good contract.
One of my favorite ones of those, and this is a few years outdated, but this was like 5 years ago. Mark Bulger was like 13th all-time in passing
years. Yeah, he had like two really good years where it was just like nobody expected it.
Eli Manning is top 10 in passing yards.
Yep.
Shit like that. It's because this era is so inflated, you can't even find John Elway on.
Right, right, exactly. And, I mean, that's what Drew Brees has going for him. He's got all the passing athletes. But so, I don't know. You know, it is pretty embarrassing that Cam, that's all he can get. Well, I mean, for now. You know the Patriots aren't going to pay him. Yeah, oh, yeah. Next year, watch. He's going to be the biggest, like you said, probably odds are he's going to be the biggest quarterback on the free agent market next year, and he's going to get a massive contract.
It'd be very surprising. The other quarterbacks that are coming up are like Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, guys like that. Quarterbacks don't just reach the open market in the middle of their career often.
No.
Thanks so for speaking. He had a misstatement. That's putting it nicely. He had his Twitter controversy. Some of the, which I don't really like weighing in on. But one of the things that happened, kind of related to that, the same type of atmosphere, the Washington Professional Football Team, which is, I think, their new official name. The Redskins.
Really?
No. Well, I mean, they're not the Redskins anymore.
Yeah.
So they're the Washington Professional Football Team, which a lot of people have been referring to them as that for years, which is totally fine. I mean, the Redskins, it's this funny thing because that is so on the nose. It's completely unacceptable.
If I
always like to think, if I was a comedian in another country, wouldn't you just bring that up all the time when you're talking about America? You'd be like, America's crazy. The professional football team, which is the most popular sport in the country, in the nation's capital, is literally called the Redskins. I mean, putting a thumb in the face of one of the biggest victim groups in the country's history, in the nation's capital.
In the capital. Yep.
It's so preposterous. And obviously, that had to go. I'm surprised it happened so quickly. Because of the, and I'm not saying like years wise quickly, I mean like weeks. Like it felt like it took days to get some momentum for it this time.
Yeah.
It just couldn't get, and every time it comes up, which it felt like it was the last 10.
Yeah, I feel like every year, every time it has come up, they're just like, nope, we're not changing it. And then everyone's like, okay, they're not changing it. That's okay. Just move all on. Right. I guess they're not doing it.
It got some.
Yeah, so that's changing. I mean, I think it should. Dan Snyder's a piece of crap. He's always been a piece of crap. There was some huge Washington Post article that was supposed to be released today about him, which was released, and it wasn't as damning as I think rumors had it. Nothing, you know, there was definitely some stuff in there that I didn't read it. I just heard summaries of it. It was bad, but it wasn't like career. It could be career altering for him. I don't know. But there were rumors that he was, you know, Dan Snyder was like, whoring out his cheerleaders, and Jay Gruden was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And
okay, now you're just speculating rumors.
It was all speculations. That's what everyone. Okay. None of it happened. My point is, none of it happened. Things came out that were bad for him. We'll see what happens. One of the rumors was the reason this is all coming out and it's going so hardcore is because Jeff Bezos has said he wants a team. He has something to do with Washington. He's obviously the richest person in the world. And maybe, you know, he owns the Washington Post. Wondering if he's trying to sneak in there. But get Dan Snyder out of there. He does suck. I think they should boot him immediately.
Dude, I bet Washington wholeheartedly agrees.
Oh, they all hate him.
Yeah.
They all hate him. And he sucks.
He bought the team, I want to say, in like 1999. And he was really young. He was like 37 years old when he bought the team. And he's driven them into the ground. And not for lack of investment. He's shown the willingness to spend money over and over and over again and just can never put a good product on the field.
No, his players don't want to play for that, the franchise.
Jay Gruden, grateful. I could tell, I'm speculating, just by the look on his face on Monday Night Football or whenever his last game was as a coach, it was just like, please fire me. Please. I don't get my fire me, I get all of it.
Literally, he was waiting to get out of it.
But the reason that I said at the beginning that I have some mixed feelings about it, and like I said, wholeheartedly agree, name had to go. But I love the logo. I love the colors. I love the uniform. For some reason, I like saying skins. Like, oh, the skins are on against this team. I have no idea why. Like, the reds, that just doesn't do anything for me. It was a unique... And the Redskins were always my number. They were my NFC team.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think it's because the Cowboys were always, everyone likes the Cowboys. And so it was just going, I just like going counter to people. The Giants, because fuck the Giants. The Eagles were unlikable, even with Andy Reid there. It was like, and the NFC East was always on TV on the East Coast, so you'd see them a lot.
Yeah, we did see them a lot. Yep.
I just like their uniform. So who knows what the new nickname will be? It could be anything. It could be shit, and it would be an upgrade over what it was.
Shits.
The shits. The Washington. I don't really care. I mean, this is a city that had a basketball team named the Bullets while they were currently the murder capital of the... I mean,
yeah.
For whatever
I didn't even reason, think of that one.
Washington Wizards.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Horrendous. Washington Capitals, I'll sign off on that. The Nationals, that's fine. The Nats, that's a good... It's a good shorthand. I don't know. It sounds like Red Tails is one of the front runners. I think Hogs would be cool, but just because that's already part of the Washington lexicon, because their offensive line was always called the Hogs.
Okay, the Hogs, that'd be pretty funny.
I don't
really care. I mean, you know, I really, whatever name they want to come up with, fine. I'm happy they're changing it. It's been years. It's like such a joke. It's like laughable at this point that they won't change it. It's become, you know, a punchline. So I'm happy they're changing it. Screw Dan Schneider. I hope he gets kicked out of the league and the rest of his little, all his cronies that are a part of there. Redo the Redskins franchise. I mean, they were considered one of the premier franchises. You know, Joe Theismann, they won tons of three Super Bowls in the 80s. I mean, they were a fashionable, exciting franchise in all through the 2000s, and especially I think they had one decent year in like 2003 or 2004 where they had some talent. And since then, I mean, 15 years of just garbage. Those fans deserve a little bit more. I mean,
they deserve a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just from anyone listening, if you have been listening to the show for a while, you know how much we say the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
Saying the Washington, whatever they'll be called, it's going to take time. It's going to take time for everyone. There's going to be a
ton of
slips. And I just want to say now, let's not get mad at people, whether in Booger McFarland or Phil Sims, Boomer Esiason, someone's going to say the Redskins.
Yeah, they've been there. Yeah, right.
And they're going to get called out, and people are going to be like, I can't believe you said that. It's like, I have 50 conditioning to say that.
Right, right. So we'll see what happens with that. So you mentioned Pat Mahomes. What do you think about it?
Well, the numbers on the deal were preposterous. Like, that's not a real deal.
What is the real guaranteed money? Do you know?
I don't know, but he's got guaranteed mechanism, which I believe. I mean, I don't really. I haven't read it too thoroughly what the breakdown looks like, but it sounds like it's not guaranteed. If you have a guaranteed mechanism, then it's not guaranteed.
So the only real numbers I've heard about guaranteed money, I don't know what the full amount is, but I saw that he is basically getting paid $150 million within the first 3 or 4 years, guaranteed. So, like, huge signing bonuses
are coming. Extension.
It's an extension, yes. It is an extension, but the big, big chunks of signing bonuses, like, you know, it's a almost $500 million deal, right? So, $150 that is being paid kind of up front.
Yeah, and the way the signing bonus, I don't really care the way the cash works out.
Yeah.
The Chiefs just, so you can pay a lot of cash up front, however they decide to do that. But the way that it affects the league is the way that it affects the salary cap.
Right.
And a signing bonus has to be by rule. It has to hit the cap evenly over the term of the contract.
Right, right, right. So it'll be drowned out throughout whatever. Yeah, however it works.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's a 10-year extension, it's a $100 million signing bonus. It counts $10 million against the cap every year of that. Regardless, if it's cut at the end, then it all gets accelerated onto that last year. I think there's like 120, something like that, in full guarantees at signing, which, I mean, might even be low. Kirk Cousins got 84, talking about the best player in the league.
Yeah.
24, and has combined, like...
You're right.
The sample size on Patrick, incredible how good he's been, how quickly.
Yeah, and well, he started getting hurt last year. I mean, 10 years in the NFL is odd to me, obviously to everyone. We haven't seen a contract that big, half a billion dollars in 10 years. I mean, the thing I wonder is, you know, obviously they just signed Chris Jones. They have him. They have a lot of superstars that are going to want to get outspoken superstars who are going to want to get paid over the next few years. And I just wonder if Mahomes put himself in a situation where 6 years down the road, whatever these stipulations are on the contract, he can't get out of it for a couple of years and the team is crap, which is very possible.
That totally
does. And I think you know, one of the biggest, you know, one of the differences between a sport like baseball or basketball where you're getting these massive contracts, you know, usually that player is what's making your team that much better. Now, obviously, quarterback's the biggest position in football by far, but, you know, if you're good in the NFL in 2020, in 2023, you could be a shithouse. You know what I mean? You could be the worst team in the league. Like, I feel like that's so I'm happy for the players that they can, you know, get more big money and stuff like that, longer contract. I just don't know how it's going to work out personally for Mahomes in terms of winning.
Yeah. Well, that's why the extension is important, because he plays out the rest of his rookie contract, which might only be 1 year.
Yeah.
But they can, that's where you fit in contract up front. And then, yeah, I mean, it's any of these teams that have a Jared Goff contract, that have a Carson Wentz contract, Mahomes at this level, what we're going to see from Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, any of these teams have to be really good at filling out the rest of the roster, which mostly means drafting and developing talent.
Right. Right.
The Patriots did it somewhat through that, and also with finding affordable free agents. That was pretty much their shtick, was we have Tom Brady. We're going to pay him $5 million less, $10 million less than he's worth. And we're going to use that and some of our scouting savvy and bring in some veterans on low-cost deals. So the Chiefs, the point is, he's worth it. He's one of the few people that...
He is worth it, yes.
Unquestioned.
Yeah.
But he's probably going to have to play... He's not going to be able to play with $15 million receivers for very long.
Right.
And $15 million receivers, that market's keep going up as the budget goes up, and they're pretty soon they're going to be $20 million receivers, and he's just not going to be able to afford any of those guys. So it's, can you convince people to come work with you on lesser deals the way that Brady did? Brady mm-hmm. never worked with the top of the
market. Right. And that was on a low-budget contract.
Only $10 million after 07, whereas Welker, Edelman always took less money than he probably was worth.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you got the best player in the league. You got a front office that's been able to put together some really talented offenses with effectively no first-round picks. Eric Fisher, a left tackle, was a first-rounder, but I mean, Tyreek Hill was in the fifth round. Travis Kelce was a third-rounder. DeMarcus Robinson was drafted who the hell knows when. So it's like they've shown a track record of being able to put some talent around them. It's just defensively, you're not going to be able to trade for Frank Clark with two first-round picks and give him a top-of-the-market deal. Those days are over.
Right, exactly.
So they're going to have to figure it out amongst themselves. We're getting up to the hour mark. Speaking of speculation earlier, is this season going to happen? Who the hell knows if this season's going to happen? I mean, they already said that probably going down to one preseason game. Training camps are supposed to start on time, which is crazy. That's in 2 weeks. We're recording July 6th. And then it sounds like the NFL is content to pretty much just play wait and see. You know, pretty soon, within 2 weeks, we'll have the NBA starting in a bubble. The NHL is going to start in a two-city hub event. MLS is starting in a bubble. Baseball is going to travel, but with no fans.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, the NFL hasn't paused a single thing yet. I guess they canceled minicamp.
There's no, you know, dual team practices or whatever. You remember those, you know, that stuff. That was canceled a while ago. You know, the no preseason games is going to be interesting. Everyone's like, oh, we don't need to see them anyways. It's not for us. It's for the players. I mean, you can't just go from one preseason game to NFL week one and expect everyone to be tip-top shape, ready to go.
Injuries
are going to be crazy this year, and so that's going to change things. And, you know, I just hope they can keep going. I think the NFL has a lot more faith in what they're going to do than I personally do.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to figure it out. Like, you're going to have 100 guys on a field, you know, 20 versus 20 with all, you know, people going and living their lives outside of football and coming back in, at least the NBA. They've kind of set it up in tiers, like, okay, we have three different bubbles or four different bubbles within the bubble because of each hotel room or each hotel's location, and it's all separate. And, you know, the hockey guys, I feel like just in general, you listen to them interview, like, they want to fucking play. Mm-hmm. Most of those guys are like, we're fucking playing. We're serious about this. Like, anyone who doesn't want to play, like, get out of here. Versus the NFL, you might have some more people that are like, oh, we don't have to be in a bubble. Let's go party. So... it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why we call this speculation.
Yeah, and they haven't changed this. You know, the MLB, they are traveling with no fans in the stands. East Coast teams are only playing East Coast teams, whether it's NL or AL. You know what I mean? Like the NFL, it's like, no, they're doing their schedule. The Patriots are going to fly to San Diego, and they're going to fly to Texas, and they're going to, you know, there's going to be 10,000 fans in the stands or 20,000 fans in the stands, depending on where you go. So I think they're, I hope they're not being naive.
Sounds like,
but it seems like it.
It feels that way.
Compared to the other sports, which are a lot easier to control, the NFL is just like, no, we don't need to worry about anything. We're just going to do our own thing. And the NBA is like, we have we have 10 guys on the court.
Yeah.
And we're really trying to figure this out.
The good news for the NFL is they only
that's true. Help
with detection. You could give the whole team a test. And then, I mean, but the complicating factor is, yes, they need to travel. And when a team travels, it's like 200 people.
Right. There's a shitload. It's a production.
A media.
Yep.
All the operations people that make it all happen inside each hotel that they stay in. It's a big unit. And you know, it's a lot to ask, but there's a lot on the line. You're talking about a $16 billion pie. I think about half of which comes from ticket sales. So even if you take that out, you're still talking about $6 to $8 billion from TV rights,
mm-hmm.
where
that need to get filled.
Yeah, you'd be watching. You might have been able to go up with
how it works. Yeah,
but
Everyone's gonna be watching. I mean, I'm even gonna watch baseball. I don't watch baseball that often, hardly ever.
I'm stoked for baseball.
It's gonna be on the background. I don't do that.
The next 2 months, the next 2 months are going to be like sports heaven. It's going to be immediate playoffs, basketball, hockey, plus a shortened, like, feels like the playoffs baseball season, immediately followed by football. It's going to be awesome.
I just hope the NFL, I have my doubts the NFL is going to be a complete season and they're going to finish on time. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, week 8 comes around and half the league's sick and they're like, all right, we got to shut down for a month.
Yeah, and they might be
because they only that'd be missing 4 games, which is huge.
Yeah.
But it's also like, okay, we can go to the playoffs in a 12-game season, you know. So we'll see.
That's the point of this part. That we'll name the episode. How about that?
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. All up in the air.
All up in the air. All remains to be seen. But we'll be back on a more frequent basis as training camp opens, as we get some news, as we get some nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
So we can discuss everything that we love here in Pats Nation. So thank you all for listening, and we'll be back to talk to you again shortly.
Sounds good. Adios.
Later.